you ever find yourself looking for a good conversation starter, or even just something to talk about with family, friends, a partner, maybe a coworker? Welcome to the Offsides Podcast. This is a perspective show where we dive into all things sports and pop culture to keep you up to date. You might be asking yourself, why is this helpful to me? Going on a date with a sports fan? We'll get you caught up with the latest happenings, so you'll be sure to impress.
Want to know what's going on in pop culture or celebrity news? We've got you covered. We have the newest and hottest news about who's dating who, what the heck they were wearing, and even all the tea for popular reality TV shows. Offside is hosted by myself, Sonia.
And me, Andrew.
Giving you two perspectives on any topic and how to include it in any conversation. We are the hub for all things conversation starters and cannot wait to hear how our news, sports, and pop culture insight led to successful and engaging conversations. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Offsides. I'm Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And we're so excited you joined us for yet another episode of Offsides, where we are your one-stop shop for all things conversation starters. We give you exciting and unique topics to discuss and have engaging conversations.
This is a exciting week here on the Offsides Podcast, so turn your headphones up, crank up the volume a couple notches in your car, however you might be listening to us. We have officially hit double digits. This is episode number 10.
10. Super exciting stuff. So we got a very fun episode planned for you. So without further ado, let's get started.
Absolutely. Like, we appreciate the support of our listeners. I know professional athletes are appreciating the support as more and more fans are allowed into the building. This is one of the most exciting times to be an avid sports fan, a casual sports fan, somebody who doesn't care about sports and just likes to find something on TV. There's always something that's going to be on because the NHL playoffs are nearing.
Yay!
The NBA playoffs are nearing.
Ooh.
The MLB just started.
Heck yeah.
WNBA kicks off in the summer. And it seems like the NFL is left out.
Aww,
but wait, we just had the draft this weekend.
That's right. We just had
a great draft this past weekend. Lots of young talent headed different places across the country, ready to, you know, rejuvenate teams, ready to add to teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool how there's good teams, there's rebuilding teams, there's these guys were the best players at their college team. They were always the best, and now they have to step into lots of different roles. So
yes,
it's interesting to see that transition. I know you've been to a couple NHL games live. I just went to an amateur hockey game live.
Ooh.
And it's interesting to see the new dynamic and people socially distanced and with masks. The energy is a little bit different, but it's still fun. I know that you support lots of teams across different sports. So with all these playoffs nearing, with new seasons starting, I just want to run through real quick, rapid fire. Who is your favorite NHL team?
NHL at the moment is going to have to be the Golden Knights. However, I grew up a Blackhawks fan. That was my very first NHL game. So they're near and dear to my heart. So it's between those two, but most likely the Golden Knights.
All right, so then shift now. We have another Vegas and Chicago team here, so I'll be interested to hear your take. Who's your NFL team?
Ooh, NFL. So I grew up a Bears fan, and I love the Bears. I follow them very closely. However, they break my heart every season, and it's hard to watch sometimes, very cringeworthy. But this season, I got really into the Raiders, and hopefully next season or this upcoming season, I can go and watch them. I wanted to go see them. They played on my birthday here in Vegas. I think it was against the Bears, if I'm not mistaken. But I couldn't go to the stadium, unfortunately. But hopefully this season will be good. So I'm going to say the Raiders, and on the back seat is definitely the Bears. How about you? What's your favorite NFL team?
It's interesting. In the NFL for a long time, I loved the Carolina Panthers.
Ooh, bold choice. Okay.
I was a big fan of Cam Newton.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Another player was Luke Kuechly.
Okay.
There was another player named Greg Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they drafted this young, exciting talent, Christian McCaffrey, who's still there. And they had a really cool coach whose name was Ron Rivera. Since then, Cam Newton is no longer on the team. Luke Kuechly has retired.
Oh, my goodness.
Greg Olsen has retired.
Ugh.
And the coach has now become the coach of the Washington football team.
So is that who your team is now?
So, I mean, I still do like the Panthers. I hope they do well. That player, Christian McCaffrey, is still there. But as a Las Vegas native, born and raised, I have to support the Raiders. I would say that is the team that any week, if they're playing, if any other team in the NFL is playing against them, that's who I want to win. But now, really, it's about is my fantasy team going to win?
Oh, this is true. That's very, very true.
That leaves us MLB, which I know you're a Cubs fan. I don't think there's any argument there, right? That's your team?
Yeah, no, I don't think I can argue that.
And then NBA, is it the Chicago Bulls for you with all the Chicago teams?
Actually, no. I really don't follow NBA as much as I follow any other sport. So I don't really have a favorite, to be honest. I do enjoy watching the Celtics, I will say, if they're ever playing. And I've been to a Pacers game before. But I really, like, don't have a specific team that I cheer for.
Do you have a favorite NBA player? Or it's really just not your thing? Like, you enjoy watching it, but it's not like you have a favorite player or team, per se.
Well, yes and no. I'm trying to think if I have a favorite player. I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. What is your team?
My team is the LA Clippers, and my favorite basketball player of all time is Blake Griffin. Used to be a Clipper. Lots of people know him. Dated Kendall Jenner. That's another reason that he's popular. He's one of the 6 or 7 NBA players on Kendall's list. She is currently dating a player on the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, really?
His name is Devin Booker.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You had mentioned that.
It's funny. The Kardashian-Jenner crew, they're either rappers or basketball players. It's which one are you going to choose? Because, let's see. Kim was – she's with a rapper.
But she did marry –
she was with – he played for the Brooklyn Nets. It was the shortest marriage, I think
– 35 days,
maybe,
right?
In the history of marriages. And Kylie is with a rapper. Kendall has been with lots of basketball players.
Chloe's been with a couple too.
Chloe with Lamar and Tristan Thompson.
Yes.
So, I mean, they just choose their avenue, and some of them go both ways, just like Kim did. But we got off on a little bit of a tangent there. But the LA Clippers and Blake Griffin are absolutely my favorite. But like I said, such a great time to be a sports fan. NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, NFL draft just happened. MLB started. So regardless of what you're a fan of, minor league baseball is also starting. I would highly recommend, if there's a minor league in your team, go to the game, go with some friends, go have a couple beers.
Yes.
It is an incredible experience going to a minor league baseball game.
And you know what? This is a good thing. A, it's the tickets, depending on where you are pretty cheap. And you don't have to sit really close to really like get the experience. There's the food's not too bad. It shouldn't be too expensive. It's a great date option. Or if you just want to hang out with your friends post-quarantine and, you know, the pandemic slowing down and everything, it's a great way to get with friends, co-workers, and have a good night out or a good day off. And then also, too, if you don't know a lot about baseball, it's a good way to learn. If you sit there and, like, really, like, pay attention. I know baseball is kind of long and kind of repetitive, but, like, if you're trying to understand it, or, like, let's say your significant other, a partner, a friend loves it, if you want to learn more about it, like, minor league baseball is, like, the best way, I think, to, like, really understand it and to ask all the questions, where it's not as serious and it's more fun and there's a lot of things to get involved with. So definitely a great option.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's good. Like you said, baseball's long, but it's also fun because you can tune in and tune out.
Yes.
Because it's so long. It's kind of like why I like listening to stand-up comedy sometimes. Instead of listening to a song where I really want to hear the lyrics or something like this, sometimes if I have a long drive, I'll just turn on stand-up comedy because I can tune in for one or two jokes. If I miss a couple, it's fine. So baseball, like you said, that is a great way, an easy way to learn about the sport in a fun setting.
Yes.
Well, what is going on in the world of pop culture? So much going on in sports, so much wrapping up, just starting. What's new in pop culture?
So in pop culture, it's kind of funny. Have you heard of the TV show The Property Brothers?
Oh, yeah. As someone that recently bought a house and is trying to figure out what I want to do with it, very familiar with them.
Well, they have a couple different, like, branded shows on the Home and Garden Network or television, but they're originally Canadian, and they're twin brothers. There's three of them, but the two brothers, the twins, are the ones that are on the TV show. And one of them is married, one of the twins, and the other one just kind of, we never really knew. So he is dating Zooey Deschanel. And I don't know if you know who that is, but she's a pretty famous actress. She was in Elf, which I didn't know till I was much older. I never realized because she had blonde hair in the movie. And she also has a huge successful show. It's on Netflix called, oh my goodness, I just blanked.
It's New Girl.
Thank you.
I've seen every episode of New Girl. I'm very, very familiar with that show.
Yes. And it's very interesting to see because they met, you know, and they were quarantined together. And it's just fascinating to see that how much like they're really like each other, and they like stayed with each other during quarantine. He was telling People Magazine, you know, she's smarter than me, she's funnier than me, and she's cuter than me. And you know, they just really enjoy each other's company, and I find it very funny that they were together in that sense. But talking about her new show, which I've only seen bits and parts of, it's very interesting because, if correct me if I'm wrong, she lives with a bunch of dudes, right?
Yeah, so the premise of New Girl is there's these guys and they're looking for another roommate. So they put out an ad and she applies, and basically they talk about, they have a quick little meeting. Are we going to have a girl move in with us? That's going to change the dynamic, this and that. And she ends up moving in with them, and the show kind of plays out how their relationships with each other, how living together, how the guy she lives with meeting her hot friend plays out. So it's a really entertaining show, and it's really funny and relatable.
Well, that's good. You know, something I also didn't realize, I don't know if you ever saw the show Bones. I think it's still airing new episodes too. Zooey Deschanel's sister, Emily Deschanel, is in that. And it was crazy because one day I was looking at the credits and I finally connected the dots and realized that they were sisters. And they look alike too, but I don't know, like, until you see names and stuff, you don't realize. But from a property brother to, you know, a roommate living with a bunch of men to someone figuring out crime shows, it's all connected, right?
Yeah, and speaking about people that look alike, you were saying that her and her sister look alike. Have you ever seen the comparisons between Zooey Deschanel, Katy Perry, and Emily Blunt?
Oh my gosh. I've seen Katy Perry and I've seen Zooey Deschanel, but not Emily Blunt, which I could totally see, which if she had dark hair, how they could all look alike.
Yeah, Emily Blunt, and then there's also Siobhan Morris that can fit into that as well. The four of them kind of look alike. And if you're listening and haven't seen it, I would definitely suggest look up Zooey Deschanel, Katy Perry, Emily Blunt, and there's lots of memes and photos that have them all side by side. And really, on any given day, you probably could swap them out and it would be hard to tell, given if someone gave them all the same makeup and hairstyle, I think you would be able to notice the subtle nuances, but they would all look very, very similar.
You think it's like they could do like a doppelganger situation?
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. So if you had a celebrity doppelganger, who would be yours?
Great question. People in high school used to tell me all the time that I looked like Macklemore.
What?
And I really did like Macklemore. So I was the first one, like as he got big with Thrift Shop, I shaved the sides of my head.
Oh, no.
Like completely to the skin, left the hair on top long, definitely had that Macklemore look going. I would say in my life, the person that I've been compared to the most as a doppelganger is Macklemore.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's a compliment, I would say.
Do you have any celebrity doppelgangers or people are like, oh, you look like this person?
I remember one time I was in college and I was checking in to go work out, and this guy was like, oh my gosh, you look so much like, and I'm going to pronounce her name wrong because she just came out that saying everyone's pronouncing her name wrong. Chrissy Teigen, which she now says it's Teigen, but now she says it just sounds weird when people say it the correct way. But someone said I looked like her, and I was like, who is that? And I Googled her, and I was like, oh my goodness, no. But thank you for the compliment. Yeah, she's got some big cheeks, you know, those big apple cheeks. But yeah, she's pretty cool. I can't think of someone, Demi Moore, I've gotten that one before. But yeah, those are probably like the couple that I've gotten.
Yeah. Chrissy Teigen's married to my guy John Legend.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of his.
They're so cute. Luna and I can't think of their son's name. But I don't know if there was a video that was recently released and it was their daughter Luna and she called her dad John. And he goes, "No, I'm dad to you. My name is not John." Which I thought was really funny. But speaking of celebrities, I don't know if you've heard, but there's all of this on social media. I know we've talked about them before. We've given each other our housewives or house husbands taglines. All of the all-stars of the franchise of The Real Housewives have been taken across the seas, per se, and they are doing an all-star weekend. So all stars of each franchise or certain franchise have been chosen and picked, and they've been placed in the Turks and Caicos. And I can only imagine they're living in the same beautiful cabana or whatever you may call it, and some plant of drama is going to drop a bomb, and they all have to respond to that. So my question to you is if you were stuck on an island, a magical resort island of tropicalness, where would it be and what five celebrities would you want to be stuck with?
Ooh, Turks and Caicos, that's a beautiful location. I've seen lots of my friends post pictures from there or go on vacations there. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a pretty good one to choose. Hawaii is lots of fun.
Yeah, different
and
islands.
A place that is familiar, the language, the culture is familiar, so it would be easy to live
mm-hmm.
there, adapt. I do love Greece. I've been to Greece, and I feel like that would be a fun place to go and lots to explore. But if I'm stuck on an island, I am taking Zac Efron with me for sure.
Ooh, good choice. Okay.
I like Zac Efron's body of work. He seems like a pretty cool dude. And the show Down to Earth that Zac Efron has on Netflix, which
mm-hmm.
was just renewed. There's going to be a second season that they tape. It seems like he would know how to keep us alive. If we were in a scenario,
he has this
newly acquired knowledge to keep us alive. I'm taking Dua Lipa with me.
Your girl, okay.
I do like Dua Lipa, and, you know, if some boredom kicks in, she's pretty to look at, and she can just start singing,
okay.
So she can perform for me. I need a drinking buddy for when the days get long, so as I talked about before, maybe I bring my boy Rob Gronkowski.
Ooh.
He's also a pretty big dude. You know, if Zach says we need to move some trees and some branches around to build us a habitat to survive the night, Gronk can do all the moving for us.
Okay.
And then I say I'll take my boy Macklemore, too.
Okay. So that's five, right?
That was four. Gronk, Zac Efron, Dua Lipa, and Macklemore.
Okay, let's do one more. So there's six of us, so it's an even number. So there's, what's your fifth person?
Ooh, my fifth person, I think I would want to take another female.
Yeah, I think you need some females in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would want it to be someone that would be fun. Let's go Zendaya.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Zendaya seems really cool and really fun. Her and Zac Efron have done stuff together. They already got that teamwork going together.
I feel like
that would be a good mix of people. Zac and Zendaya have that relationship. Dua Lipa seems like she can jump in and be cool with any group. Macklemore is a big sports fan, and so he's there. He can talk to Gronk. He can keep Gronk entertained, too. So I feel like it would be a good mix of people.
That's good.
What about you? Who are your five to survive on the island with?
Okay, so I'm going to change it up, and I would go to Bora Bora. I think that would be the best place to go. And then after that, I would take, oh my gosh, Bear Grylls. I'm going to switch it up and do the opposite of Zac Efron, but that would be our survival guide, would be Bear Grylls. His show is amazing. I don't know if you've seen the one that where he takes celebrities.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So I would take Bear Grylls. I would take, I need some comedic relief. So I would take Joe Coy. Very good comedian, a little older, you know. I think he'd be very interesting. I need some females in the mix. I would say, you know, she would be really fun, and I think she would keep it lighthearted. Lizzo, I feel like she'd be like a fun person to go to. She just never looks like sad. to put it in nicer terms. Let's see, who else? So we got Bear Grylls, Joe Coy, Lizzo, and I need two more, right?
Who's going to be your nice person to look at?
Oh, that's a good one. Someone nice for me to look at. Do they have to be single?
They don't, no.
I was going to say Ryan Reynolds is always a good option, and he's kind of funny, too.
You're stuck on an island. He's single now.
Right? And then let's do one other female. So we got, I'm trying to think, man. One other person who would be interesting.
What about your girl, Rihanna?
No, I don't know about that. I don't know. I'm trying to think. One other person that I could put as a female on the island. Oh, Gina Rodriguez. She would be good from Jane the Virgin. I feel like she would be a fun time too.
That's funny that you picked Gina Rodriguez and I picked Gronkowski, because in our free play segment when we said who we wanted to go out to the bar with, you chose Gina and I chose Rob, and oh, after funny. That, I did watch them on the rap battle
Wasn't
show.
Wasn't it good?
Drop the mic, and it was pretty good. That show is very funny, and
I miss it.
I would suggest looking some of them up on YouTube, because people on that show really go at each other.
They do, and they roast. Here's the thing. If you have a sense of humor and you can laugh at yourself, which I think is something everybody needs to, like, I don't want to say acquire, but be better at, because then, like, everything just brushes off your shoulder. You can't get offended, and you're just like, eh. And then you throw it back at them. And say, you can't take that? Well, then don't come at me.
Exactly. And that one was very good. There's Shaq versus Ken Jeong.
Oh, my God.
That's a very funny one with the words and also just the visuals, because size-wise, there's so much
different. He's so tiny. I didn't realize he's so tiny.
And Shaq is so big. So that one's very funny. And then Usher versus Anthony Anderson is hysterical.
You know, that's also a good thing. So, like, let's say, you know, you've been dating someone for a while and you want to invite them over, but you don't want to do, like, a classic, like, Netflix and chill. You can always put that on. And I feel like that's something that, like, lightens the mood, but it's not, like, especially, like, if you have that in mind, like, oh my God, the Netflix and chill, like, something more is going to happen. That's a great thing to, like, throw on the TV and, like, you can laugh about. And, like, hey, you might use one of their lines. But that's always a good thing to put on, too, if you don't know what to watch. Because everyone's like, what do you want to watch? And
Yeah, when you put on a movie, number one, going on Netflix or Hulu, the decision process is just a whole ordeal. You can learn a lot about someone based on how they decide what Netflix or Hulu movie they want to watch. Mm-hmm. Do they just hit that crazy button they have on Netflix that says shuffle that puts a random show or movie on? Like, why was that ever invented? But that is a good suggestion to just watch it, some YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to transition from one YouTube video to the next. It might suggest something that takes you into a different avenue. Like, instead of just being stuck with one thing. And when people are watching a movie, probably for the first, I would say 1 to 5 times you hang out in that window, both people are really in their head whenever a movie comes up.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Because then they're like, oh, they're going to do the classic, let me put your arm around you. Or like, casually touch your thigh. Or like, do I eat? Or like, is there like alcohol being served? Like, there's a lot going through your head. I know I've personally been there. I'm sure you have. So yeah, that's some interesting things to think about.
Yeah, for sure. But I would suggest to start and watch some YouTube videos. Drop the Mic is a great one. Mm-hmm. Lip Sync Battle is very fun.
I love that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of good Lip Sync Battle dances and lots of a range of celebrities, athletes, talk show hosts have done it before, mm-hmm. performers, movie stars. There are so many Lip Sync Battles that are really, really fun. And the dynamic between the two people that are on the battles is also fun. One of my favorites is Tom Holland, and he battles Zendaya, so hers are pretty good. But Tom Holland's performance is exceptional.
Is this rap battle?
No, this is lip sync battle.
Ooh.
And then Channing Tatum's wife put on an absolutely stellar performance.
Ex-wife, Jenna.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know how to say her last name, but that's his ex-wife.
Exactly. And both of them know how to dance, so, I mean, they do pretty well.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting. I need to – see, I never understood it, like, how they get to pick what song that they do the lip sync to.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can pick whatever song you want, and Channing Tatum has some good ones. He has one where he's dressed up as Elsa from Frozen.
I love that.
He has another one where he sings Beyonce's song. It's about girls running the world.
Oh.
And Channing is dressed up as a woman.
I love that.
And he's riding a fake horse and is very into it. These celebrities get very into it. So it's fun to watch. And like you said, there's just no pressure when you have on a YouTube video and it's something that you're both laughing about.
Yes. Always a good option when you're just starting to get to know someone and you don't want to go through the classic Netflix or Hulu or Amazon. What should we watch? Turn on YouTube.
Yeah. Speaking about just getting to know someone, and we mentioned earlier that in the show New Girl, the character Jess, Zooey Deschanel's character, moves in with a group of guys. And the group of guys, the dynamic is very interesting. There's one guy who works at a bar and is kind of smart and is kind of like the dad of the group per se. There's another character who is more of your stereotypical ladies man or guy, always trying to hit on girls at the bar, bringing girls home. He's got a pretty good physique. He's real into his body, working out, into his job and his status. Another one that's really into sports. So you kind of have the whole like stereotypical guy dynamic in this group. And then Jess, this cute little sweetheart teacher girl, moves in and you see how she changes up the dynamic and sprinkles in her bit of personality on the apartment. So I want to talk about roommates.
Okay.
And roommates can be a very sticky situation. Yes. I think a lot of people's first roommate situation outside of the OG roommates that you have, your parents, is when they go away to college. Or around that same time frame, if you don't go to college, typically you start working. Maybe you move out with some friends or something like that once you hit a point where that makes sense for you. And with roommates, it's interesting because with the college scenario, a lot of people are either paired with a random roommate and you have that transition of you lived with your parents your whole life. Things were really comfortable. You knew them. You knew what the dynamic of the house was. And now you're meeting this completely random person and you're going to live together. Or on the flip side of that, a lot of people move in with their best friend. They end up going to the same school. They celebrated on their last day of high school. They're like, oh my gosh, we're going away to school together. I can't wait. And then they move in and it either can strengthen the friendship and everything's great. Or I've seen where these best friends, yeah, start to just butt heads all the time. And they're like, you know, we were great when we would be apart from each other for a little bit and hang out when I didn't have to live in your messy room. And I found out I'm a neat freak and you aren't.
Now, I will say, and this is the best advice I will give anybody that's thinking about moving out or roommates, you never truly know someone until you live with them. Like, for a week, for a month, for a year, for 6 months, you never truly like know and really get to know someone until you live with them. You know their living habits, their hygienal habits. You know, you learn everything. And like I highly suggest, option, take a trip with them. Room with them and see how it does. And then maybe if it's okay after that, you know, if you're not drunk all the time on this trip, like you can see if it's really a good fit because you really, really get to know someone when you live with them 24/7.
I'm glad you said take a trip with them because when you said you don't know someone until you live with them, my first thought was I would say you don't know someone until you take a trip with them because you learn just do they get anxious in a situation like an airport or something like that? How do they do with, you know, a travel experience or if there's a hiccup in the plans, the flight gets delayed. Yes. Like, is that something that someone is able to deal with or does that completely throw them off? Also on a trip you learn, is someone a planner? Do they have every bit of the trip planned out or are they just fly by the seat of their pants and be like, yeah, when we get there, we'll figure it out. So I'm glad you said that. But with roommates and when I went to college, I moved in with my best friend. We lived in the dorm together, and then we got a house with some guys that we met while we were up there. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. But when you went to college, did you have a random roommate? Did you go with someone that you knew? Or how did that end? Did you live in the dorms your freshman year?
So that's a funny story. So my freshman year, I didn't want a random roommate because I was so afraid of this person could be crazy. And I've heard horror stories. And all I wanted is someone that would respect me and we could be friends. Like I said, it wasn't a lot. So I wanted to live in the dorms to get like that full college experience. So they had this, and I don't know if people do this anymore, but they had like a Facebook group page for like the class year. So like, I don't want to date myself, but the year of where I was supposed to be a freshman, like this is your page and you can find someone. So I was like looking and like kind of like a dating website essentially for a roommate, but on Facebook. And I found this girl and I was like, hey, like we've got along. We've talked a little, let's meet up. So we met up at like some random coffee breakfast place. And I was in Illinois at the time, and we seemed to have clicked. Everything worked out well. Okay, cool. Let's agree. So we were talking over the summer, and I will never forget. I asked her, I was like, okay, I'm getting ready to, you know, get a room together. Do you want to be cohesive? Because girls, they're like the, you know, freshman year, you want to look, your room wants to be aesthetically pleasing. And I said, okay, like these are the colors that I'm doing. This is actually the comforter that I'm getting. And she goes, I don't care what color we do, as long as it's not brown, because it reminds me of poop. I said, okay, good to know. Thanks for sharing. So I showed her my comforter. She liked it so much, she got the same comforter. I said, all right, cool, whatever, match comforters. I don't care. It was reversible, so if I didn't like it, I always change it up. You know, I always say this, I kind of think she catfished me to an extent, because she was like, yeah, like I like going out. I like, you know, sporting events. I'm very social, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, cool. This is great. So when we got to school, like we hung out, I met a lot of her friends because she had a lot of friends from her small town, which she didn't know what Costco was, which kind of made me a little nervous. She had never heard of that. And then like, as like the semester went on, like we made a bunch of friends together, and she like started like being reclusive and like not hanging out with us and like didn't want to go out to sporting events. And then she joined the rugby team, and then that's all she hung out with. She was a very nice girl. We were great roommates. But then towards the end of the year, like I asked if she wanted to live together again, and she's like, no, I want to live alone. And I'm like, okay. So it could have been worse. We respected each other very well. She just didn't want to be my friend, and I was kind of sad about that, which I wanted someone to be my friend. But, you know, sometimes it's just – it's better off. And whenever we saw each other sophomore year, we always said hi and everything, but that was
Yeah, I think it's funny that you were cohesively planning your room with this girl, and it's – so funny, just the difference between girls and guys when you're moving into somewhere.
Yes.
Because me and my roommate, we were like, yo, did you buy bed sheets? Do you think they're gonna have like sheets when we get there?
No.
Or like, do we need to bring our own? Or like, it's just funny that you're like, oh, let's make sure we've got the same color scheme going on.
Well, I didn't care about that. Colors didn't necessarily matter because I took a lot of my stuff from like my old bedroom. I just had to get different sheets because they had the twin extra large and stuff like that. And we had matching comforters because actually it was like a really cool comforter, and it was gray and white. So you can't go wrong with that. But she wasn't as girly as I was. So, I mean, it worked out well, but it's very different, male to female, like they
So that's always an interesting cross-section too when we were talking about travel with someone to get to know them, is when a guy and a girl that are in a serious relationship decide they're going to take the next step and live together.
Oh my goodness.
That coexistence between the two, because of how different guys and girls are in their living situation.
Think about that. Yeah.
I mean, I live in a house right now, and I have some roommates, and we're all dudes that live here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, and this isn't a bad thing. My house is nice. I have nice furniture, but you can very much tell it's a house that all guys live in.
That's very, very true.
Like if a female moved in here, you would notice subtle differences for sure. Like, It would still be a predominantly bachelor pad.
Yes.
But you would definitely notice that there's some different touches that females are definitely more attentive to than guys living in a house are.
Which is funny because in the reverse, I live in a house with all girls. And you can definitely tell, like there for a while, we didn't have a lot of furniture. We just had furniture in our own separate bedrooms. And then we finally got like more living space furniture. And you can definitely tell, not the kitchen, but more like the living room area, like there's girls that live here. Like we have like this really cool vase, and it's just full of like wine corks. And, you know, we have two pink like chairs and like, you know, furry fuzzy blankets and pillows and sparkles, but not like super crazy, but there's subtle things, you know. There's girls who are like in our office area. We have a rack full of just clothes. So whoever we need clothes, or we have a mannequin that has clothes on there and a wig if you need to change your hair for the day. So there is subtle changes. And I think living with girls and guys is a totally different dynamic. Or now this is something very interesting, which I'm sure you guys have experienced living with all boys. Like, let's say like somebody spends the night, like, you know, someone's significant other partner spends the night and like that next morning, like you're tiptoeing around that. Like that's an interesting thing with roommates, because it's like, does your roommate care if like someone else comes over for the night, or do they not care? Or like, how does the next morning go? You know, oh, would you like some coffee? Or do you not like, kick them out before your roommates wake up? You know, there's always that. Interesting.
Yeah, so significant other, someone you've been dating, I mean, that one's easy, that one's fine. It's like, yeah, we built this dynamic, I've seen you before, you've been here before. It's when there's someone that you've never met before, that when you wake up and you come downstairs, they're sitting in the kitchen and it's like, oh, what's your name? Nice to meet you. That's the one that's a little more funny, but I don't think that's a big deal. And it's interesting for me as the person who owns the house, because my roommates are like, hey, is it cool like if such and such stays here? Like,
that's respect.
Like, that is respectful, and I appreciate that they ask, but it's just funny being the person that like they have to ask, you know?
You know, but like I think that's always a good thing, even if you didn't own a house and you weren't the person, you know, that signs a check every month. I think it's always a respectful thing, like when you're considering living with someone, is always be like, what are our rules? Or not rules, but what are our respect levels on, like, if we have someone over, should we all and be in agreement? Like, okay, if no one else spends the night, like, yes, you can have someone over. Or, you know, let's just not make this a safe place where you have to go to their place. And I think that's a respectful and like being on a mutually like consensive decision, like, you know, because sometimes like maybe they're just uncomfortable. Or here's another thing, and this is crazy. I lived in an all-girl house in college. There was seven of us depending, and you know, of course we all had, you know, significant other boys, you know, over and stuff like that. But if you're in like an all-girls house, you don't want a man just walking in the house, because sometimes we don't like to wear clothes, or we have less clothes on, or just to be respectful. So if you don't tell someone's coming over, or you walk downstairs and there's a boy you've never seen, and let's just say you're in your brown underwear, like, having that conversation or texting, hey, there's someone here, just a reminder, is something, regardless of if you own the house or not, is something to always to consider. Or to like always have them ring the doorbell and knock is like a big thing for me, because then I know there's someone currently in the house that doesn't live here.
Gotcha. So yeah, you said that's a big thing for you. And I want to know, what are some, you'll give some, I'll give some, what are some do's and don'ts of having a roommate, whether it be a friend, a significant other, just living with other people? What are some of, just for you, general things that are do's or don'ts? You mentioned ringing the doorbell. One for me is to just keep the common space clean. Like, keep the kitchen, the living room clean. Your room can look however it wants. Yeah. I don't care about that. That's your space.
Yeah.
But just, like, if you cook something on the stove, like, clean it up. Or if it was greasy, like, you made bacon in the morning and it sprayed out of the pan a little bit, just wipe that up. Clean it up.
I'm big on that.
And another big pet peeve of mine, speaking about being in the kitchen, is if you open the microwave before the time has expired, clear it so that there's not time left on there.
Oh, see, that doesn't bother me. I just figured out how to finally work my microwave. So that doesn't bother me, but that's funny that you mentioned that, because we were all so confused how to figure out it's a tricky thing, because the buttons are weird. It doesn't specifically, I don't know, it's just different because there's a dial, numbers. So it was weird to figure out. So I don't necessarily care about that. But my thing is like, just if you cook, like, by the end of the day, do your dishes. Like, if you cook like a big meal at night, like, do your dishes so in the morning they're not there. A big thing for me is, if you want to borrow something of mine, just ask. I don't care. You can use anything mine is yours, but just ask. And if you don't ask, I'm like, where'd it go? Like, why didn't, especially clothes or something. And then another one is laundry. If you, like, we all have busy schedules, we're all in and out, we're all doing other things, but don't leave your like clothes in the wash machine, like just turn them over. And like, just cause then if someone else wants to come, you don't know, like, and I'm particular where like, I don't dry all my stuff to keep them nice and they shrink, you know, just whatever. So like, I don't want to put it in the dryer and turn on and ruin your good clothes because I have to do a load of laundry. So that would be mine.
Yeah, that is an interesting dance, and I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, when you find someone's clothes either in the washing machine, they just finished, they're wet, and it's like, okay, I don't want to let these just sit here.
And then they smell all gross if you let them sit in the wetness.
Exactly. So it's like, I want to move their stuff over for them, but at the same time, like, doing laundry sucks. Let's just put it out there. So, like, I don't want to move your stuff over for
yeah.
you. I really don't.
But I don't want to wait because
exactly.
I want to do my laundry now.
Exactly. And then it's like, okay, well, when is that person going to be home? Am I going to have to take their stuff out of the dryer too? And then when you take it out of the dryer, it's like, okay, do I put it in their room? Do I just put it in a basket and leave it for them?
But you know what I have done, and I feel like this is good. So what I do is if their stuff's in the wash machine – I text them in the group chat or whatever and they don't reply, I put it in the dryer, I don't turn it on, and I turn on my load of wash. Then it gives them time to say, okay, can I turn it on or not? If not, when my stuff's ready, I put what I need to put in the dryer and I put it on top of the dryer. I said, I can't wait for forever. Or if their stuff's dry and in the dryer, I'll either put it in a basket or I'll put it on top of the dryer and then they can do what they please with it. That I don't feel as bad. But it's when it's in the wash machine and it's wet, I don't know what to do with it. You know, like that's a big one.
Yeah, I think on this same note, an important conversation to have when you first move in with someone, and this is something that kind of comes up and can lead to a little bit of tension, is how are we going to deal with the thermostat?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a real good one. Because do you have one thermostat or do you have multiple in the house?
I have one thermostat.
For the entire house?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's...
So it's definitely like, okay, do we have a set temperature that we kind of want to leave it at? Or is it this game where I put it where I'm comfortable and you're like, oh, this is too cold, and you go and turn it up and I wake up sweating because you went up and turned it because you were too cold. Like, that's something that I know for a lot – it's such a little thing, but for a lot of roommates, I know that's led to like –
We had rules, at one house. At one apartment I lived in college, we had rules. It was funny. We sat down one night because we were all just pissed off and we made these rules. And some of the rules I think about are kind of ridiculous. But we had a 24-hour rule where you had 24 hours to clean up your dishes, which now I think is way too long. And then we had one where it's like where it was the temperature one. And I don't remember what we set it at. Then we had one where it was like quiet hours, like during the week. But like in college, I can understand. Like it made sense. Because this one girl, she's one of my really good friends. I'm going to see her for her wedding. But she would get up really early in the morning and she would make smoothies. And like my bedroom was right by the kitchen. And I'm like, dang it. So we had to make a rule like, okay, you can get up just like 8 o'clock. Like then you can start making your smoothies.
You have to take your blender outside.
Yes. Yeah, so we had rules like that or like, you know, just little things that we all kind of agreed on. But that's something really interesting too. And I don't know if they discussed this on that show, New Girl, but like kind of having like a general consensus of like thermostat, you know, quiet hours maybe because of like jobs or whatever you may be doing or like making sure all the doors are locked. Like that's a big one. Or having like, what do they call it? The stick buddy or buddy stick where you stick it in the door at night. Some people have that or whatever it may be, like no TVs or don't keep the lights on, you know, just little things. But as long as you're like, you're all respectful and you all mutually agree, like I think that is a thing. Or you know what another one is, and this is really interesting where people can take advantage of you or the situation is house guests. Like, And you're like, oh, yeah, whatever, house guests. But, like, if you are paying the bills and, like, you all – like, let's say you all – it's not factored into your rent, like, you know, utilities and stuff. Like, that person, if they're spending more than, like, a night there, like, water, electricity, and, like, whatever it may be, like, that adds up. So, like, a 24-hour rule or, like, if they're staying more than, like, 2 nights, like, they need to pay rent or they need to contribute because that's a lot and people don't think about that. And then there's someone that actually ends up living there and then they don't pay rent, like – then you never establish that. So that's also something to consider too.
Yeah, for sure. And you talked about having house guests, and that's a good transition to the next question that I want to ask you. Because we talk a lot about on this show about, you know, going on dates, meeting new people, how to navigate first dates as you've been dating for a long time, you've been in a relationship for a long time, what do you do? But this is going to be interesting talking about relationships because you currently live with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting dynamic when you have not lived with a sibling for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You move back in with them. And whether it be you or them that has the significant other, I want to talk about how do you act in front of other roommates, and especially for you, and I know your sister is dating someone, how do you act in front of them? You don't want to be too PDA in front of your sibling. It just seems different in front of your sibling than your friends. But also, you have a perspective of what is something that are do's and don'ts for someone that's in a relationship in front of their roommates. And you have the perspective of, okay, I live with someone that is in a relationship.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting question. I think me and my sister, we lived together for what, 17, 18 years? 16 years, because she's 2 years old. Yeah, so 16 years. And then she went off to college. And then when I moved back to Vegas, or when I moved to Vegas, we lived together for a year or so together. But I think it's just different. And like, there's no one that will get under your skin more than your siblings. And even if it's nothing that big of a deal, it's blown out of proportion. So just like reminding yourself, like, it's, you know, we're not going to live together for forever. And we all have our different quirks and different schedules and different things. But like PDA and like significant others, I think it just depends on like the relationship you have, and it's also the other person too. So maybe I don't want to see it as much, but if they have to recognize themselves too, I shouldn't be like that too, because also like you don't know how they are in public. It's hard too, because even like take the situation that we're not living together, like you and your girlfriend are at your family's house or with family, like you're not going to be super PDA. Like, and it's weird to think about that. And I don't know how like you were raised with your family and like PDA was like a good thing or a bad thing, but like it's hard too because it's upon the couple to understand it and to realize it and to like reel it back, you know?
Yeah, you definitely have to read the room, read the scenario, know mm-hmm. who you're with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's interesting, like, okay, we all sit down and watch a movie mm-hmm. as roommates.
Mm-hmm.
And now my significant other, or let's say in this example, your sister's significant other is there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, do we cuddle while we're watching this movie as everyone else is around? Or
yeah.
It's an interesting dance, and it really is that answer that you hate getting from every teacher as you were in school. It depends. You ask them, oh, how do you do this? Is it always like this? And your teacher's like, it depends.
So here's the thing, though. You could do a rule of thumb of like, okay, if you're on the couch and your roommate or you're with family, well, let's go the family dynamic. So you're with your significant others and you're all watching a movie. Okay, you can cuddle a little bit. Like, that's okay. You know, there's a blanket. I don't want to know what's going on underneath the blanket. I don't want to see movement underneath the blanket. You know what I'm saying? But, like, it's okay. Like, yeah, you can hold hands. Like, you can be. But, like, there's a point where, like, you have to know where that boundary is, where it's too much. And there's, you know, it's like, I know there's someone else in the room. I can't just go hop on you and, like, you know, like, it's just, but you have to draw that fine line, and they have to realize too, because sometimes people are oblivious and they don't recognize, oh shoot, there's other people in the room. So I think if it does make you feel uncomfortable, like, and once their partner leaves or their significant, you know, like, hey, like, it was so much fun hanging out with you guys, watching this movie, but it kind of made me uncomfortable. Can you guys tone it down a bit? And there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to remember your delivery and what you're coming from. If you come from love and sincerity and like being genuine, you know, that's always a good thing. And just remembering your delivery is everything, and telling them that, like, then that's okay. But sometimes you have to have those conversations, and that's really difficult because you don't want to offend them and you want them to be comfortable, but you also don't want to make someone feel uncomfortable. So like dancing between like, it depends is really important, and knowing like when is too much and when is okay.
Absolutely. So when you first move in with someone, have a genuine talk with them about, you know, what are just some things that might bother you living
mm-hmm.
together. Just
mm-hmm.
It's very important to be open and honest. I've never lived with you before. What are things that might bother you about us living together? Make sure you're on the same page. Do your dishes. Clean up after yourself.
Yes.
Move your laundry. Don't start a load and leave the house.
Ask if you can use something, or ask to borrow something and return it in a timely manner. Hygiene.
Yeah, keep yourself clean, especially if you share a bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that you keep the countertops clean. Make sure that if you were dirty and you take a shower, not to just leave it so that the grime builds up over time.
I will mention this, though, and this is like, I'll leave it at this. If you are a male or if you are a female and have a male over, make sure they put the seat down. That's very important in toilet area. And also, too, if you don't have a half bath, like, because I know this happened in the house that I live in, make sure that, like, and we had this rule from the start off, like, we each have our own bathroom, so if we have a guest, they have to use our bathroom. And make sure you guys be consensus and, like, make sure you know that's known to everybody and the guests, too, because you don't want someone else that you don't know using your bathroom. And make sure the toilet seat's down and you clean up after yourself.
Good point.
And there's a trash can there, too.
Very good point. So we've wrapped up our roommates here, and we move on to our free play segment. Wrap up our 10th episode here.
Yes.
Our free play segment is designed as an open space where we talk about maybe things that relate to the show, maybe things that don't, random questions, where we are open and honest with each other, and any question is fair game.
Yes, it is. So I guess I'll start it off here, kind of playing off everything we've discussed today. Andrew, give me your best and your worst roommate experience.
Oh, best and worst roommate experience. Like I said, now I've had a couple different living scenarios. I lived in the dorm with my best friend from high school. Then we moved in a house together. There was four of us guys. Then I moved back in with my parents for a little bit. And that was great. Shout out mom and dad. You were great roommates. You really supported me better than these other roommates. They don't buy my groceries. You guys did. And now I live in a house where I've had a couple different roommates. I'll start with my worst roommate experience.
Okay.
And it's something that just makes me laugh because it's not bad, and it's along the lines of cleaning the dishes. So there were some dishes that I had left in the sink. And then I went on a soccer trip. I played on the soccer team in college, and we went to Oregon. So my dishes were in the sink, and I left for Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friend Matt, he lived in the house as well. I guess he had left some dishes in the sink as well. And then he went to go watch the Final Four in LA. So we, as I said, very much now, I've grown a little bit. I'm more mature. I would clean my dishes now. But we left the dishes in the sink. And he went to LA, I went to Oregon. And we had one wall in our house that was an entire whiteboard. The whole wall was a whiteboard,
and
it was in the kitchen. I got a sticker that you stick on there, and it made it a whiteboard. And I got back from Oregon, and I opened the door to go in the house, and I'm like, what happened? Everything on the whiteboard had been erased. It was completely empty, and we had a lot of stuff on there all the time. Drawings, random things. People would come over, they'd write stuff. It was all erased, and there was just two things written on there. There was one that said, number one, I am not your maid. Your dishes are not my dishes. Number two, fucking clean up after yourself. And then at the bottom, it was signed Jake, one of our other roommates. And I was like, I took a picture of it and I sent it to Matt. And I was like,
shit,
bro. I was like, we really done pissed Jake off.
We
hit the final straw. So then I was like, I just came back home and Jake and our other roommate were gone. And I was like, oh man, how's this going to go when I see Jake? Like, what do I just first say to him? I'm like, hey, just act like nothing happened. Or am I like, hey man, sorry about the dishes. Like, I understand. Like,
yeah. That
was messed up of us. It won't happen again. My bad. So that I am going to say is my worst roommate experience. It's very comical looking back on it. But that was me being a bad roommate, and Jake, obviously, that would maybe be his worst roommate experience.
I think it
as
was
well.
Warranted. His response was very warranted after that.
I agree.
It could be worse. He could have done a lot. He could have put them in your bed. He could have put your dirty dishes in your bed, which I think...
There are a lot more aggressive ways he could have dealt with that situation. Another one, worst roommate experience, also involves Jake. And he had a friend over, a friend that was visiting from his hometown, came to stay at our house with us. His friend got a little too turned up and puked in the bathroom.
Oh,
like,
dear.
Like, everywhere. Like,
projectile.
Puke on the... like, didn't open the toilet bowl. Like, it was on the toilet, it was on the floor, it was in the bath. And Jake was asleep at the time. So we're like, all right, this is Jake's friend that just like puked everywhere. So me and Matt looked at each other and we're like, that's not our problem. So we woke Jake up and we're like, hey, Jake, we're going to bed. Your friend pukes. You got to like go clean it up. Like he can't clean it up. So that was Jake being a good roommate. And after we didn't do our dishes, maybe we should have helped him out there. But not our problem. That's someone else's puke. That's your friend. You take care of it. But what is one of your best or worst roommate experiences?
Okay, so I'll start with my worst and end with my best. The worst was we had a group chat when I lived in college, and there was four girls. It was a weird house, but there was four girls on the top half and three in the bottom. Anyways, so the top half of the house was one section, like its own, and the bottom half was their own. So we had a group chat with the four girls on top, and I got a text message one day where they were asking about, hey, does someone know where my frozen chicken is? And my one roommate, she wasn't really eating at the time. My other roommate was a full vegetarian. And then I was the only one that had like, would cook every night. So I said, oh, I haven't eaten any. Mine's on the top. It's Kirkland brand. Feel free to have some. So then she, I guess supposedly she had thrown a tantrum because she couldn't find her frozen chicken. So I'd come home after work and classes and I found it. And I took a picture of it and I got distracted and forgot to send it. So the next day I found it on my camera roll. I was like, oh, I'll send it to her. So I sent it to her and her response was, so-and-so is in the back bathroom. You must have took this yesterday. And I said, yeah, I'm so sorry. I forgot to send it yesterday. She's like, whatever. So 3 weeks later, she finally decides to cook the frozen chicken that I found in the freezer because it was kind of a hodgepodge of stuff. And then she goes on, that was not my chicken. Somebody ate my chicken, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, girl, just go take my chicken. It's on the top shelf. I don't care. Just buy me another one. It's not that big of a deal. So she had this whole thing that somebody took her frozen chicken and it wasn't the chicken and all this stuff and just create all this drama. So then like not even like a month later, I found out through a friend she was moving out. And it would be one thing if she was moving out and we left on good terms, if she's moving out and I'm like, she's moving out because of this frozen chicken, because someone ate her frozen chicken. Like, who cares? It's frozen chicken. So I will never forget. I was sitting down and I was doing homework before classes. She came downstairs all angry and we had this, you know, butcher block wood with all the knives in there. She came downstairs. She had like this big reusable bag, threw the knives in there, pulled out the cable from the TV, threw it in the bag and walked out the door. And I'm like, oh my God, she's going to go kill someone with those knives. And the funniest thing is she moved down the street five houses down on the other side. So like she was not smart enough to have realized like you're still going to see us. You're going to walk past us every day. You should have left on good terms. And then this is bad, but some of the girls that we had lived with at Christmas time went and dropped off a thing of frozen chicken on her doorstep and said Merry Christmas because we all felt bad because she couldn't find her frozen chicken. But yeah.
That's pretty funny.
That was probably the worst, I guess. Someone moved out because someone ate their frozen chicken. I don't know. And then my best one was I just transferred schools and I had moved into this house and there was a lot of girls, a lot of new environment, a lot of stimulation. And there was a girl from New Zealand. She'd never left New Zealand before, never like really kind of was like sheltered to an extent, like hadn't been to America and she was a study abroad student and no one really understood her because everything was kind of quirky, new and different. But like being from a totally different country and ending up in West Lafayette, Indiana, it's very, very different. So they would kind of like not pick on her, but like kind of like didn't understand her quirks, didn't understand like the way that she thought and processed things. And I kind of got irritated too, because I was feeding off of what everyone else was saying. So then finally one day I said, hey, like let's cook dinner and do it. And she is half Filipino like me. So we made this really good chicken adobo and it was, oh my God, delicious. And like I really got to know her and like understood why she did what she did. And then like after that, like we became best friends. Like to this day, I still talk to her. Like we have a snap streak going on. Eventually when travel opens up, I'm going to go visit her. But yeah, I think that was probably like the best thing, best roommate, because like we became such good friends. And like, I really, not that I didn't like her, but I couldn't like, you know, it was just hard to living with a lot of different personalities and a lot of different people. And people are telling you one thing and you're trying to get your own perspective on something. But I think that was probably like my best roommate experience. And like to this day, we're still like best friends. So
that's really cool. I would say my best roommate experience is probably just living with my boy, Matt, who I talked about in some of these stories. We were really good friends in high school, and just moving in together was really seamless.
That's good.
We just worked really well together. It was a lot of fun. We're both interested in sports. We both enjoy going out and doing a lot of the same things. Matt was a very good student, so in college that was a good just influence, someone that
was serious
about studying and kind of kept me on track as well. So living with Matt was a really positive experience. We lived in the dorm, then we moved into a house together, and I think just the ease of things, just
it helps.
We understood each other. We knew what each other liked. Played pranks on each other. Like it was really just lighthearted and fun. So I would definitely say just living with Matt as a whole was my best roommate experience.
Oh, good. Well, we all have ups and downs as part of life. It's an experience and you learn from every part of it. And as long as you can take that and learn to respect each other, I think that's all that matters.
Exactly. Well, something that's going to be up tomorrow should be your glasses, whether that's a glass of margarita, whether it's a shot of tequila, whatever it is you fancy, go and celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
Or please, as some people like to call it, Cinco de Drinko.
Cinco de Drinko. Be responsible. Take an Uber if you need to. It's not worth anything else other than the tin or however much it costs. But drink responsibly, have fun, and cheers to Cinco de Mayo. Thank you again for listening to yet another episode, number 10 in the books for Offsides. I am your host, Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And we'll see you next time on the Offsides podcast.